Good morning, Bible Way Church, and to the folks who might be joining us around the world through this webcast. We do appreciate you being here with us, and today is a very unusual day because of the circumstances, not only in our community, our church, but around the world. Our auditorium here is very, very sparsely populated. But Jesus is here with us, and we thank the Lord for his good spirit that's here this morning. We are going to have a service. We're going to have Sunday school. We've got some beautiful songs to be sung. And then Pastor Vinoy will come and bring a message for us. And I did want to say this morning, particularly to those who are, maybe you haven't been out of your house as much as you'd like, those who would faithfully be here with us this morning, that the church loves you, Jesus loves you. This is a very unusual time that we're in, but we will get through it. And we will assemble again soon as the body of Christ here in this church. What we'd like to do this morning is I'm going to ask Brother Coulter if he'll come this morning and open for us in prayer. Brother Coulter, if you'll come, please.
Good morning. It sure is good to serve the Lord in any capacity. And we'll pray now. Lord God in heaven, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for a beautiful spring day, Lord. Oh, God in heaven, the flowers is blooming, the sunbirds are singing, Lord. And oh, God in heaven, Lord God, oh, how wonderful thou art, Lord Jesus. And God in heaven, you give us the technology, Lord, to still worship thee. Oh, God in heaven, to still get the gospel out, God. And oh, Jesus, I ask that ever, Lord, there's a lot of lost people who have become very aware that their lives are not infinite, Lord. Oh, God in heaven, there's a lot of saved people, God, that these tender-hearted lost, let us remember to serve the King and be ambassadors, Lord, and tell somebody about Jesus, God, even if it's not close, Lord. God, I ask you, Jesus, that you would bless us and help us, Lord, and help us to serve thee and glorify thee, God, even in these restrictions, God. I thank you for a nation, God, that lets us, even yet, God, as long as we follow simple guidelines, we can still give thee glory, God, and thank you for all we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, Brother Coulter. A wonderful young man serving the Lord, working in the ministries to spread the gospel. We just look for the Lord to work in his life in many wonderful things. We do have our verse for the week, and be careful in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And those words are certainly true. The wife and I visited one of the local grocery stores last night, and it was amazing to go through and see how much food is there, yes, but how many shelves are empty and different things. Unusual times that we live in. And as I stand here before this auditorium this morning that probably seats 400 people and less than 10 of us here this morning, what an unusual time it is. But our hearts will not fail us. We will have confidence in the things that we've believed from the beginning, and that the Word of God will guide us and direct us in the ways that we go. So, church, we are praying for you this morning. And in our announcements, do want to mention the order of service. We had our opening, our prayer. We'll do our announcements. We've got two songs for you this morning that'll be just wonderful. Short Sunday school lesson, and then tremendous message coming from Pastor Vinoy. So in the way of our announcements, church services will be announced. So we're not going to have church service, obviously, this morning, this evening, or Wednesday. So that takes us through, the latter part of March. We'll have to see about the weeks to come. We will do what's expected, and we will follow the guidelines that are set forward. But we will also find a way to keep the gospel message in front of our people. So do want you to expect a call all update as those come in, as we get more guidance, as the pastor learns what's best for us. Now, in that regard, and by the way, if you're watching this broadcast, you've probably found where to get them. But maybe you've got a neighbor, you've got a friend, you've got a coworker or something that's looking for a place where they can hear the word preached and be a part of Sunday school, what have you. Why don't you direct them to our website? And at BibleWayOnline.net, you'll find the website. The big 15-minute presentation is actually a very, very, very wonderful presentation of the gospel message. And quite frankly, there's a lot of people today that are fearful. They're concerned. As Brother Coulter said, they're very aware of the eternal situation that lies on the other side of this world. And they're looking for the gospel message. What is it the Word of God says about having peace and knowing Christ as our Savior and having eternal life in the world to come? Direct them to our website, not just the gospel message, but the Stand in Awe series, the Punching Holes in the Darkness series. These things are online, and they'll just be a wonderful help to folks. Now, if you don't have the ability to do the Internet, you've got someone who doesn't have that technology, we can provide CDs and DVDs. Just contact us and let us know, and we'll go from there. Now, the pastor asked me to put this in here. Why? Because it's important. The CDC, we're listening, we're learning. They've got the best minds in the world working on how you fight this virus, how we win. But in the meantime, until they've got something that's more absolute, the greatest thing that we can do is just practice good hygiene, to wash our hands with warm water, with soap. They said, 20 seconds is kind of the minimum that you need to wash your hands. So I'm going to give you a thought. Most of us have memorized from a child the 23rd Psalms. And if you say it at a good pace, not rocket-like, we're not going to do the auctioneer voice, but if you say it at a good pace, it's about 30 seconds. So here's my challenge to you. When you've been out someplace, you need to wash your hands before you eat, what have you, practicing good hygiene, say the Lord's Prayer. Pray for somebody you know. Pray for this church. Pray for the pastor. We've got families in this church that are already hurting because of lost loved ones, their loved ones they've lost. But just think about something. That 20, 30 seconds makes a difference. Follow these guidelines, and it definitely helps. Ms. Rachel. All right. Very important message. You are not alone. This church, like many congregations, has people that are already limited in what you can do as far as mobility goes and that type of thing. If you'll reach out to the pastor, to the deacons, if you'll reach out to just the people around, call me, but call Pastor Vinoy. We'll see to it that if you need groceries, someone will try to pick those up for you. Now, if you're looking for a loaf of bread, we're looking for a hard thing these days, but we'll try to find everything that you'd like. If you've got something that goes wrong at your house, you need a light bulb replaced, fuel for your car, that type thing, you need somebody to pick up medicine, you're not alone. You might be separated for a short season, but you're not alone. Please call and let us help you. Ms. Rachel? Okay, Salvation Army, it's been the tradition of this church for almost 2 years now that on the last Sunday of each month, we provide lunch for the people at Salvation Army, and we also give them a next meal pack. Salvation Army of Kingsport, because of the circumstances, has changed their program to basically offering a to-go lunch to the homeless, to the people that need that help. So they're not serving in the dining room, and it takes away our opportunity to do what we usually do in the month of March. What we are going to do is provide the next meal packs. And I would like to say a call out this morning to Brother Ralph and Brother James and to Kim and so many others that have donated crackers and Vienna sausages and things that breakfast bars, the things that go in those packs. When I came to check this week to see where we were on getting the 100 next meal packs made, almost everything we needed was already in the closet. So that's God at work, working through his people here, through this congregation. So what we're going to do is we're going to build out 100 of the next meal packs. We will deliver those to Salvation Army. And then next Sunday, as they give people the to-go bag that has the lunch and the water in it, what have you, they'll also present one of those bags from Bible Way Church. And folks, those bags are a great blessing. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the giving that you've already put forward. We'll see where we go in April with this, but in March, we're not going to cook. We're just going to support them with the next meal packs. Ms. Rachel? Okay, so Vacation Bible School. I asked Siri last night, and I think she said it's now 78 days until Vacation Bible School. And you say, well, Brother Steve, we've got this virus going on. We've got people in lockdown, what have you. Do you think we're going to have Vacation Bible School? Absolutely, we're going to have Vacation Bible School. And we're going to have it the week of June the 8th. So we're getting ready for that, and I've put a couple of the lesson plans up here that were put together by Brother Brian. Monday, entering the campaign, the story of Paul. Tuesday, campaign promises, the promises that we saw fulfilled in Abraham's life. Wednesday, campaign issues. This is Steve. Stephen. He stood up for what was right and became the first known martyr of the church. The woman at the well on Thursday, voting, making choices. And to our folks here, this auditorium this morning, I stand here, I look out, see just a few faces. I see, you know, roughly 400 empty seats. It won't be empty when we have Vacation Bible School. There'll be little voices giggling, and there'll be lots of activity, and hundreds of feet all across this campus. We look for that on June the 8th. So folks, get ready. Start thinking about your lesson plans, and start thinking about the things that are going to make that a very special week for the kids. And I believe that after the sequestering that we've been doing here in March and possibly into April and what have you, they'll be ready to get out and have some fun, hear the Word of God, and be a part of that. So that'll be a blessing. Now, here comes the part just before our song that is very hard to bring. This week, we have lost two dear, beloved saints here at this church. Miss Barbara, she went on to be with the Lord yesterday morning, Saturday. Brother Dan Coakley, he left us just shortly before that. And when you think about Brother Dan, he was always bigger than life. He was always happy and fun, and he just brought joy to everybody that was around him. And we just pray this morning for Sister Frankie, and we talked to her, and 65 years, I believe it was, of wonderful marriage. And as she said, Brother Steve, when you spend that long with somebody, you begin to act like them, you begin to think like them. She said you begin to look like them. Well, I will say she was always so much prettier than Brother Dan ever aspired to be. But they were just two peas in a pod. And you just pray for that dear, precious lady and this sweet family. And then Miss Barbara, to just go so suddenly to be with the Lord. We're praying for Brother Gerald. We're praying for those children, for those grandchildren. But, you know, her confidence was so great in God. And I remember when she would stand here and she would ask people as she sang, such a beautiful, tremendous voice. And she would sing and say, you know, what if today you went on to meet the Lord, paraphrasing. Well, she did go on to meet him. And there was great rejoicing, I'm sure, on her part in heaven when she kneeled at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you pray for Brother Gerald. I can't imagine that. I believe it's 56 years they've been married. And you never saw one of them without the other, just like Brother Dan and Miss Frankie. You pray for these. Now, the service for Miss Rose will be at East Lawn Cemetery on Monday. I believe they're receiving friends from 11 until 1. And listen, even with the virus, that's complicated. You can only have so many people there at a certain time. The services will be for the family. It's not what we would want, but that's what's expected. So you pray for these folks that they've not only lost loved ones, but they've gone through an unusual situation with the funeral and the closure services. So with that, Miss Rachel, we want to bring up Miss Laura and Miss Charity, and they'll sing a song for us this morning.
The wrath of God was set.
Absolutely beautiful. And in Christ alone I stand. And such a sweet spirit here in the church this morning. And Jim, I don't know if you can get a picture of the empty auditorium. There's a lot of seats here where I see the fabric where we usually see people. But I can tell you that God's in the midst this morning. And very sweet spirit here. And as the pastor said during that song, it's going to be all right. He has watched his church. He's watched over his church. It's suffered persecution for millennia, and he's carried his people through wars and through plagues and through droughts and famines, and yet he sends the rain, he sends the blessing, he sends the confidence that all things are possible in him. What I'd like to do this morning is just a short Sunday school lesson, and if you'll open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We're going to read a simple verse here from Paul, and our thought this morning is very simple. We just have really just a couple of points here. But the church at Corinth was very special to Paul, and he loved that church very dearly. It was a complicated church, and quite frankly today, a lot of complications in our church today. In this book, he spends really the first six chapter kind of dealing with issues that they had in that church. He spends chapter 7 through 12 kind of answering some questions they had about doctrine and things. And in the 15th chapter, we come to the beginning of a dissertation about the resurrection. And I want you to look at the 10th verse with me, though. And Paul was actually talking about himself. He was giving a self-description, as it were. And in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse, Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God." Now, our thought this morning is in the 10th verse. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." And I'd like to bring just a simple thought this morning on, by grace, I am what I am. Now, when we begin to look at Paul, his life was disclosed to us through the Word of God. He gave us most of the New Testament through his writings to the churches, through his epistles. And because of Paul, because of the fact that he was so well known to us, We look at him and we begin to identify with him. We begin to look at the challenges he faced in life and the way that he addressed those. And we see that Paul recognized the grace that had been given to him through the Lord himself. And this grace became the foundation of everything that was important and needful and useful in Paul's life. Now, we asked some young people recently, and I was glad that the little ones were able to define this, but we asked, what does the word grace mean? And grace is the unmerited favor of God. It is something that is undeserved. It is something that is not required. It's a consideration that we're given from the one on high that we haven't merited, as it were. And Paul recognized in his life that the gifts that he had, the salvation he had through the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness for the sins that he had executed, for the gift of preaching and carrying the gospel and the ministry that he had been given, all these things had been given to him by God. He had not earned any of them. Paul, in fact, preached against a work salvation. He said that everything that was good in his life was by the grace that God had given to him. And I would tell you, folks, that when you begin to look at the message of the gospel, that there was a day when man in the Garden of Eden fell into sin and the separation that that caused from God and the fact that God looked down and with great mercy in the fullness of time sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to not only live among men and preach the gospel, but to go to the cross at Calvary and to die for our sins. Paul recognized this grace of having a Savior, of having a remedy for sin, was something that was so important to his life that God had given. And in fact, in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, Paul had given us maybe one of the most recognized scriptures that we have when it comes to the aspect of grace. And Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, "But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." And in Ephesians 2 and 8, we hear this quoted so many times in so many messages. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul looked out and he said the mercy, the love, the compassion, the calling, the gifts, the kindness, all of the good things that flow from me are things I first received from God, even when I was not worthy. Paul said, "I am what I am because God has given it to me." The wonderful works that he had placed in his life that God did through him are the things that God wants to do in our life. Paul was a man. He was just like any of us. In fact, the Bible says that he self-described himself as being, chief among sinners. It doesn't mean that Paul was wicked and terrible and what have you, but he recognized that man in his heart, in the best of his intentions, cannot do the things that God has required of us through the law. So that's why Jesus came. He fulfilled the law. And he gave us the access to God through the cross at Calvary. And I'm so thankful that by grace, as Paul said, Paul became what God would have him to be. And that by grace, Steve began to know the Lord Jesus Christ some 40 years ago, to walk in the footsteps of the Word of God and to try to be that person. But folks, it's not about Paul, it's not about Rick, it's not about Steve, it's not about Jenny, and it's not about Tommy. It's all about Jesus Christ and the gift that was given to us upon the cross of Calvary. So Paul talked about, for grace, I am what I am. And the second thing he says is, I am what I am. He was talking about his personal relationship, his personal salvation that he has with God. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, the first chapter, that Paul summarized his commitment to the gospel message with this simple statement, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." When Paul said, "I am what I am," he was saying he was focused upon what God had revealed to him, what God had called him to do, and he was 100% committed to the cause of Christ. We live in a dark day around us today. In fact, Jesus said that many dark days would come. But when those days come, our foundation for our life is to be founded upon the rock of the gospel message, the belief that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith that we have in God, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, who can push back the sides of the Red Sea and allow his children to walk through on dry ground, who can overturn the chariots and who can call down fire from heaven as well as rain upon the crops. And when we begin to look at the faith that Paul had, I am what I am, his personal witness, his personal salvation, his personal beliefs, we can begin to look at those things within our life. Paul understood these things greatly because he wasn't always the Paul that gave us most of the New Testament. He was the man whose name was Saul. And the Bible tells us that before he came to know Christ, he was a man who was steeped in religion, who was fully dedicated, truthfully, upon stomping out, wiping out, persecuting, and destroying the Christian faith. But the Bible tells us there was a day when Paul was enlightened, when Paul was touched by the Lord Jesus Christ, and a great miracle happened to him as he was on the road to Damascus and on his way to persecute even more Christians, that God revealed himself to Paul. And Paul, in that moment, he rose from this place where God had brought him to and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Paul was transformed upon that day. So when he says, "I am what I am," he really was what he was because of his transformation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see a lot of people that Jesus reveals himself to through the Word of God, through the spoken ministry, through the preaching of the Word, through the beautiful songs that are sung, where God will come into someone's heart and he will touch and reveal himself to them. And people in that moment of time, under the conviction of their sins and with the realization through the Holy Spirit of what's happened in their life, they come to a decision point. What will I do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul got up off of his knees and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" The problem in the world around us today is that God reveals himself to people and they get up and they don't ask that same question. They choose to go a different way. The Bible tells us that Paul, his conversion came on the Damascus Road. I can tell you in my own life, it was 40 years ago at this time of year, and it was in Johnson City. I could take you within 15 feet of the place where God spoke to me and said, "Steve, you're a sinner. You're lost. Your only hope of having heaven is through the forgiveness of sins, through the Lord Jesus Christ." And it was there at that point that I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, and to lead me in the paths that he would have me to go. Now, we see Paul do exactly that thing. He went from being a persecutor of Christ's followers. And by the way, in the book of Acts, the 22nd chapter, Paul does a great job of outlining the atrocities that he had. But he went from being a persecutor to being a promoter of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us all through the Word of God that Jesus changes lives, that Jesus changes destinies, that Jesus can transform. And even in this auditorium on this campus here at this church, I've seen people come in and they were burdened down with the sin of life. They had no peace. They had no joy. They had nothing in their life that was of any quality. They had no relationship with God. They had no assurance of life in the world to come. And I've seen those people hear the gospel message and surrender their heart to the simplicity of the gospel. And God came in and changed those lives. I'm glad I'm one of them. And I'm glad that Paul said, "I am what I am. The personal things I am is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me." Now we go back, and when we often talk about helping people to understand God's message, the simplicity of it, the importance of it, the power of it, where do we go? We usually take them to the book of Romans, which was written by Paul. And what does the book of Romans tell us? That all have sinned. There's a penalty for sin, which is death. But that God, in his great mercy, in his great kindness, in his grace that he's given to us, Christ, as a substitution for our sin, that through his sacrifice we might have forgiveness. And I would encourage you this morning that in your life, when God comes in and reveals himself to you, this conviction, this understanding, this awareness of who we are and who God is, that as Paul did, as Steve did, that you fall down upon your knees and you ask God to come into your life and to make all things new. Like Jesus said to Nicodemus, that you would be born again, that your sins would be taken away from you, and you'd have that confidence. So Paul said, by grace I am what I am. And the third thing I would point out this morning is, yes, Paul's foundation was based upon God, his word, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was very personal in him. It was the essence of who he was. And these two things brought about the character that we see of Paul. Now, if you look up the word character, it talks about the distinctive mental and moral qualities of an individual. And each one of us has a certain character. I mentioned we're going to miss our friend Brother Dan, and we're going to miss our friend Miss Barbara. And when the pastor called to make me aware of Miss Barbara's passing, we talked, and I talked about, you know, what a cut-up that she was. You know, beautiful personality, just a wonderful, wonderful person, just warm and wonderful, and how she was so quick-witted and so kind and you know, always so fashionable and all of these positive things. And Brother Dan the same, and Paul the same, and each one of us has a certain character that God has wired us up to be. We have a young grandson. We kept him over the weekend for a night, and he's 3.5 months old. But yet his character is becoming to beginning to surface. And what we've learned is he wants things when he wants things, and it's better if you cooperate. And y'all understand that as grandparents. But I'm telling you that each one of us has a character.
Yeah.
And Paul faced many, many different difficult days. Because of the nature and the character of Paul, he was naturally open. He was very smart. He was well-educated. He was very genuine. And when you brought all these things together with the spearhead of the gospel message that the people in Israel had crucified the Son of God, who was now resurrected and stood ready to forgive them of their sins, there were times when all these things together with Paul's character caused people around him to be offended. Sometimes they didn't like what Paul was saying. Now, he didn't say it abruptly. He didn't say it in meanness. He didn't say it out of spite. He said it from love. But his character shone through. In the darkest days, when people were against him, when people were trying to hurt him, to persecute him, when they were trying to destroy him, as it were, Paul stood firmly upon what God had already put in his heart. You see, character is something that you will uniquely possess and others are going to experience. And when the days were very, very difficult, what did Paul do? He stood upon the faith of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was committed to sharing the gospel. He planted churches wherever he went. He spoke to the leadership, the government of that day, and talked about the coming of the Son of God and the resurrection and the power of forgiveness. He was concerned about the people that he encountered both spiritually and physically. Paul was a very sacrificial and generous person. And folks, I would tell you the third point I want to make this morning is that when you're in dark days, you're called to do the right thing, particularly as the children of God. I had the privilege of being in the grocery store a couple of days ago, and I didn't know the lady. You know, the way it works in a grocery store, like most things, like traffic, is you kind of come in, and if you shop, you know, down to certain rows, you kind of move about the same pace as other people. And even if they go down one row and you don't, you know, you end up seeing them. There was a lady on the phone, and I could only hear small portions of her conversation. I wasn't eavesdropping, but, you know, you can't help it when you're near someone to overhear things. And she had someone on the other end of the line that was in some kind of trouble, that was discouraged in some way. And I was just amazed at this lady, how sweetly she began to recite scripture and began to try to encourage this woman. I didn't know either one of them, but I can tell you that her character was very kind to the person that was all on the other end of that phone. To be able to share with them the Word of God and encourage them through the Scripture and through the things that we know are true, that's exactly what Paul did. He was concerned about the people around him. Look at the Word of God. It not only gives us the doctrine, but it encourages us to look after those who are needy around us.
Amen.
Folks, we're in a time today where I believe we're just early in this process where people around us are going to need certain things.
Amen.
They may need you to come and do something at their house very quickly for them, particularly if it's an older person. They may need someone to talk to. They may need someone to encourage them. They may need somebody to pick up some groceries for them. They may need somebody to assure them through the Word of God of what God says about a relationship with Him and about the difficult days that we're in. But folks, I'm telling you that we were called not to be way back in the shadows someplace in the dark days. And by the way, and I'll say this clearly, a Christian, a person who has stood upon the testimony of faith, ought not to be a whiner in these dark days. You ought to stand up and stand upon the promises, upon the Word of God, and be an encouragement and a light to those that are around you. And by the way, if you have any questions about that, I want to read to you from the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter, at the end, just following the Beatitudes that Christ gave in Matthew chapter 5. He came to the place where in verse 13, he was talking to the church, to the body of Christ, as it would be, and he said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the feet of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Look at this. Here you go. Matthew 5:16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Dark times bring windows for seeing I am what I am.
Amen.
Not that they would see us, but they would see the work that Christ has done to regenerate us, to transform us, to experience what we had on our Damascus Road experience. And folks, I'm going to end with this and we're going to pray, but I'm telling you that there's a great opportunity for the church, for those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, for those that want to be a witness. There's a great opportunity to love, to care, to comfort, to support others in the community around us. And you may never have the window of opportunity, of openness, of genuineness with the people that God's brought you into contact with that you'll have during the days to come as people began to deal with this issue. Let us pray. Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to be here this morning, Lord. Usually we're surrounded by lots and lots and lots of people, lots of activity, small children on one side of the building and teenagers on the other. And Lord, all your people coming together to worship you because you are so worthy. Lord, there's a small group of us here today. But Lord, there's 7 billion people on the face of this earth that need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that need to know that even though there's a virus on the loose, that God still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He still holds this earth and all the workings of it in His hand. Lord, help us to remember that You love us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son to die upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. Lord, help us to be the people that You would have us to be. Lord, help us to look towards these that have went before us, like Paul, like Abraham, like Moses, like Daniel, like Joseph, like Joshua, like Peter, like John, and to realize, God, that You want to work in the hearts of individual lives to help us to be exactly what You'd have us to be. In the words of Paul, Lord, I would say this morning, by grace, I am what I am. Lord, help me to be more of what You've called me to be. Lord, these things we ask in Your blessed name. Amen.